Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this Gridiron History episode, we discuss a story how the city of Atlanta got a pro football team, the WFL's MVP was embroiled in controversy, and a Hall of Fame contributor celebrating a birthday isn't who you might think he is. It's these stories and more, all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
And how are we today, my football friends? This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your place for daily football history. Yes, that gridiron nostalgia, the ones that you've been thinking about and maybe said, hey, did that really happen then? I don't remember this. Hey, we have it for you each and every day, and we're ready to share it with you. And today is one of those unique days, June 30th, that has some little bit of a oddball trivia that you can share around that water cooler. We're going to fill your football brain with some great football history. We'll start off with your newspapers.com football history headline of the day, and it comes from the July 1st, 1965 edition of the Atlanta Constitution, when they described in print, Atlanta selects NFL after Rankin Smith is awarded franchise. AFL bows out as lease is granted at $9 million. The Atlanta franchise, that would soon be called the Falcons, was officially opening up shop. The original franchise owner, Rankin Smith, was offered to become an NFL expansion team to help prevent him from starting his club in the rival AFL. The AFL aggressively pursued to get a team in Atlanta's market as they staged two preseason tilts in the city in 1962 to attract interest from the fans. The big battle was on who could secure a lease with the Atlanta Stadium Authority. As a matter of fact, the article makes one believe that the Stadium Authority ultimately chose which of the rival leagues would be playing in Atlanta. Commissioner Pete Rozelle personally flew to Georgia City and urged the powers to be in Atlanta to make the choice of the two leagues, and eventually the NFL was chosen. The brand new 57,000-seat stadium had just been built at the price tag of $18 million and was now half of its cost would be paid for by the new Rankin franchise with their lease of $9 million. And remember, this was soon after the Milwaukee Braves had moved to Atlanta too. 1966 would indeed be a banner year for sports in the Atlanta area. They got the Braves and the Falcons that 1966 season. What a great time to be in Atlanta. Well, another football history headline, it states WFL fines Express over signing Raymond. The newspaper report in Reno, Nevada's Nevada State Journal on July 1st, 1975 said that the WFL was fining their Jacksonville Express franchise for prematurely signing running back Tommy Raymond on June 30th, 1975. Raymond was the MVP and the leading rusher of the World Football League in the 1974 season as part of the then recently defunct Orlando Blazers, or the Florida Blazers. When the Blazers went under, there was apparently a decision by the WFL to sign this player to the San Antonio Wings franchise. But when they were unable to sign him, they notified the other teams in the league that he was available for trade or purchase. After all, they wanted him to stay in the WFL. They didn't want him to jump ship to the NFL. That was their rival. However, Jacksonville signed the coveted player before finalizing a deal with the Wings. The penalty? Well, the Express faced losing a percentage of their gate revenue for two regular season games for the violation. Both of the games that they lost gate revenue from were against the Wings during the 1975 season. They would have a 10% loss to the Wings in their first meeting and 6% for the second game. on Wednesday, October 22nd, a few days before the start of Week 13, the World Football League went out of business. The Birmingham Vulcans, by virtue of their league-best record of 9-3 at the time of the shutdown, were proclaimed the league champions. And what happened to Tommy Raymond? Well, according to Wikipedia, after the WFL folded in 1975, Raymond joined the Pittsburgh Steelers, who drafted him in the 1974 NFL draft and still retained his rights in the NFL. That same draft class, the Steelers included the likes of future Hall of Famers Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth, and Mike Webster, among a few other great players, but those are the Hall of Famers. And Tommy scored a touchdown for the Steelers in the last game ever played between the NFL Super Bowl champions and the college All-Stars. Yes, that was in the 1976 preseason. And before the preseason, the Steelers traded Raymond to the Kansas City Chiefs soon after that college All-Star game. And he ended up being, I believe, like a second-tier player for the Chiefs. But, you know, to be on the world champions and being the same draft class as four Hall of Famers, possibly the greatest draft class in NFL history, four Hall of Famers in one hall in the first few rounds. And I believe they also had got Donnie Schell as a free agent who just went into the Hall of Fame this past year in 2021. That's quite an exciting draft class and a bunch of great rooks to bring in, and have Tommy Raymond, who ended up being the MVP and leading rusher of the World Football League. They could have had him on the roster that year too. And if you want to be able to read through some old articles like I did today from the Atlanta Constitution and the Nevada State Journal, you got a twofer today. You need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Once again, to get your free 7 days, sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Sign up, pay that subscription. You're going to love it, and you'll help these great podcasts of sports history to come through the airwaves of the internet to your ears each and every day. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthday singular for June 30th, 1912. Dan Reeves of the Pro Football Hall of Fame is born. No, this is a different Dan Reeves than the one who we may think. This one was a great contributor to football all himself in a different generation of football. This Dan Farrell Reeves graduated from Georgetown University and became one of the greatest innovators of the NFL. His first claim to fame was when he helped move the Rams franchise from Cleveland to Los Angeles to become the first NFL team on the West Coast. This move in 1946 not only shifted attention to the Pacific Coast, but also opened up avenues for all major sports to make the jump west, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website. Dan Farrell Reeves also was the first owner to sign an African-American player after World War II when he inked Kenny Washington in 1946 in L.A. His other great ideas were the first to hire and employ a full-time scouting department, and he founded the famous kids attendance program at Rams games too in his ownership there. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Dan Reeves in 1967. Now, as far as the other Dan Reeves, the one that was the coach of the Broncos for so many years in those John Elway era early years, that Dan Reeves is not yet in the Hall of Fame, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is kind of astounding, because he's probably in our era the more famous of the two Dan Reeves. But no, this is a great innovator. You know, I mean, hiring a African American in an era where none were in the league, he just sort of, you know, bucked the system and really opened up the door. And what a great door it was that he opened to get rid of some of that negative bigotry and everything that was in the league, and bring some of these minority players into playing football where they have really excelled, and we've really seen some really great stars. And you know, also, you know, opening up the West Coast for football and for all major sports, that's quite an accomplishment in itself. And hiring a full-time scouting department, that's unheard of in any sport. Dan Reeves did it with the LA Rams in those late 1940s, and opened up some windows, doors, and just everything else, and brought a lot of great innovation into the game of football and other major sports. And we are thankful for that. Now, we have another notable birthday, not a Hall of Fame birthday, but 1930-1966, Louis Aguiar. He was the NFL punter that played for the Jets, Chiefs, Packers, and Bears during his 10 seasons in the league. Mr. Aguiar hails from Utah State University's football program. Now, there's many more football players that were born on June 30th. You can check them out at the profootballreference.com website. You'll see all the pro players born on June 30th. Make sure you click that link. Give them a little bit of love. We get a lot of great statistics from them. They were one of our main sources for getting stuff, along with the NFL.com and the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the National Football Foundation. And, of course, your sportshistorynetwork.com. All very great sources, along with newspapers.com, to get some great information on football history. We hope that you'll join us each and every day here. We thank you for joining us once again today, and we hope you filled that football mind of yours with some more great football history that you can share with others. And, you know, if you can't share with others you can't remember, just share the website, pigskindispatch.com. We have the podcast and blog posts there that your friends and family can listen for themselves. We appreciate you spreading the word about us. We're growing each and every day, and we're getting bigger and bigger, and we're able to provide more and more for you. And we thank you for those of you that have donated to us and our sponsors that have helped us out. And of course, the great support we get from our friends at the sportshistorynetwork.com. We appreciate it from everybody, and especially you, our listeners, and we hope you'll join us and join the sportshistorynetwork.com, because we have, you know, about 20 other buddies over there. They're just really kicking some butt over there with some great sports history programs, including a lot on football, which I think and I encourage you to listen to and check them out. SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Do it as soon as you get done here. I think you will greatly appreciate that advice that I gave you. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.